This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Gaylor, and hello to all of you non-devil worshippers, and welcome to Free Thought Radio, radio for the rest of us.
And I'm Dan Barker, I'm here, and why did you call us non-devil worshippers?
Well, we'll talk about that later in the show.
Because a mayor of a town called us terrorists and devil worshippers. I'm Dan Barker, I'm your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. This is the October 15th, 2011 broadcast of Free Thought Radio. We're producing this show and broadcasting this show from Madison, Wisconsin. And also we are broadcasting in Atlanta and in Grand Rapids, in Monterey, and in New York City.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which was established as a national organization in 1978, regionally in 1976. I remember when there were just three of us, and now there are more than 17,000 members in every state, every province of Canada.
17,000 members in every state?
No, 17,000 members throughout the United States, members in every state. That would be nice. Yeah. There should be. And we work to keep religion out of government, as is required by our Constitution, and we represent the views of those of us who are personally free from religion.
We want to talk about our convention in a second, but first I want to tell you who our guest is on today's show. Alvin Harris, if you may remember, is the attorney in Nashville who won for us a very significant litigation in a federal court removing religious instruction from public schools in Ray County, Tennessee, which is Dayton, Tennessee. And now, just this month, Alvin Harris has another victory. We're putting that in quotes, but it looks like it's a victory in another Tennessee town in Whiteville regarding a cross on a water tower that we reported last week. So stay tuned. It'll be fun talking with Alvin about this new development in Tennessee.
Now, we're a little bit tired. We just got back from our national convention, the 34th annual national convention of FFRF.
I can hear it in your voice.
Excuse me, that was in Hartford, Connecticut. And we had about 400 people, over 30 states represented, also different countries, Ireland, Canada, and Colombia. So that was fun. And we began the convention. It was a pre-convention hike over to the Mark Twain Home and Museum in downtown Hartford, where Hartford was Mark Twain's adopted home. And we have always wanted to see his world-famous semi-Victorian mansion, and finally we got to see it, didn't we, Dan?
It was amazing, and a lot of the interior was designed by the Tiffany Company. His wife was quite involved when designing all that, and it was
hand-stenciled wallpaper.
Most of it was reconstructed, rebuilt, but they did have some original pieces because they almost lost that building. It became a library for a while, and was used for other purposes, but a private group is now running it.
And we got a personal tour from the director of the Mark Twain Museum, which was grateful for our selling 160 tickets to our members to go and tour it. And that was very fun. And we got to see the various studies where Mark Twain wrote Huckleberry Finn and many of his, you know, immortal works.
In his billiards room, where he did a lot of his writing on top of that billiard table. And the view that he had from the porch looking out over what used to be the river valley out there.
And they have put up a new museum, and they have a Japanese cafe, and the whole thing was a very nice afternoon.
It was almost a religious experience going to
a pilgrimage.
Going to Mark Twain's home.
And when we got into the airport, we were driving past our billboard in honor of another Hartford famous freethinker, Katharine Hepburn, and the billboard was lit up at night, so it was very impressive. If you got in at night, I'm an atheist and that's it, and that's from a interview she did with the Ladies Home Journal talking about the need, what we need to do is be kind to each other, and that's all she knows.
And we've done a number of interviews about those billboards. It made quite a splash in the city of Hartford.
Another billboard that we didn't get to go past because it wasn't on the way to the airport or on the way back, but it was another bulletin, 14 by 48 footer with Mark Twain's famous lines, "Faith is believing what you know ain't so."
Okay, but it was really fun at the conference to be with so many atheists and agnostics and pleasant, happy, fun, humorous people and serious, with a variety of speakers, including young students. One is Jessica, who's 16 years old, and Harrison, who's 18, who received awards for their activism protesting religion in the public schools, through a scientist, Jerry Coyne, in evolution.
And Steve Pinker is a scientist.
Steve Pinker.
And we got him the first week that his new book came out. And he talked about why violence is declining. The Better Angels of Our Nature is the book. He talked about that a little bit, but then he wrote a speech or delivered a speech. He talked without notes. He's really amazing. But he had formulated this speech just for us. He was talking about religion and violence. Very fascinating talk. And Rebecca Neuberger Goldstein also gave a Free Thought Heroine Award speech. It was written just for us about her ultra-Orthodox Jewish upbringing and how she had been taught never to open her mouth, basically, in public.
We should play part of her speech.
Yeah, we will. We will play
show.
Part of different people's speeches. Very moving. And then we got so many compliments on the student scholarship activist awardees that comprised most of Saturday morning. I heard tons of people so impressed with Jessica Alquist, who's taking a lawsuit against religion in her schools in Rhode Island, Jeremy Hopkins, who worked with FFRF to stop graduation prayers in his small town in South Carolina. Jeremy was a lot of fun.
Harrison.
Sorry. It was the first time he had ridden in a bus from the airport. The first time he took a taxi back, I heard from him by email.
He
said from such a small town in South Carolina. And
Dylan Gallos about his Columbus billboard controversy.
From Minneapolis.
Mitch Kale with the troublemaking activism, very successful in Hawaii. And then Steve Trunk, who is the successful plaintiff in the case removing the cross from San Diego.
Winning a Ninth Circuit decision, we hope it will be removed. It hasn't quite been.
It's been removed on paper,
On paper many times since 1991, and he was a Vietnam War vet, gave a very memorable speech about that whole battle and the genesis, if we may say, of that battle. And then, Dan.
Joe Taylor. Don't forget Joe Taylor, the former Christian rocker whom we've had on this show, who was fascinating, his story of going from a Christian evangelical rock musician, missionary evangelist, to today being a total agnostic and the repercussions that he's had from all that.
And what was fascinating is he played one song that did very well in the Christian market, All About Doubt, that our members gave him a big round of applause for, too.
We should get that song.
Yeah, we should play it. It was a really good song and fascinating that he was able to, that it worked. And but the crowning glory, Dan.
The big surprise, of course, you know we offered the Emperor Has No Clothes Award to the songwriter, the Broadway songwriter, Charles Strauss, who's written all sorts of music, from Those Were the Days, from The Happy Day, from All in the Family, to Annie, the musical Annie, the musical Bye Bye Birdie, many other songs that he's done.
The song Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, it was from All American, and different movies. He did the soundtrack for Bonnie and Clyde and for All Dogs Go to Heaven, which he didn't think they go to heaven, but he thought it was a funny cartoon movie. So he came to accept this award from us, and we were expecting a nice thank you speech from him. But then he got up, he held the award up like he was a champion, so there was a lot of applause. But then he went over to the piano, and he said, "Do you mind if I play a few songs for you?" And we were entertained for about a half an hour with the composer himself playing a lot of his own songs.
Some that I had never heard that were very funny.
Yeah.
Some wordplay songs. Good voice. 83. Yeah. He had broken his wrist, his left wrist, and they had just taken the cast off. His right wrist. And he said, "I'm not going to be able to play some of the pieces I wanted to play because it's too difficult for his hand." But I couldn't tell. Could you?
No, he was great.
Good sport. And he didn't even know, I somehow didn't know he was getting the Emperor Has No Clothes Award. And so the statuette is very charming. And he, I think, was very impressed.
Very forthright about his atheism and his lack of belief and saying, I never knew there was a group like this. Where were you people all my life? And during dinner, he and I had talked. And of course, I know from biographies that he knows a lot of other atheists. He knew Richard Rogers and, you know, Yip Harburg and Jay Gorney, and he knew a lot of these people, but they just didn't talk about that. And he was wondering what their views were. Turns out that the lyricist with him who wrote Annie and Bye Bye Birdie, Lee Adams, Charles says, is also a non-believer. So he might ask him if he can come on our show as well. So wouldn't that be a nice
doubleheader? Yeah, and we got the news straight out of their mouths that Annie will be coming back on the,
early spring. Yeah.
It's the revival. So there were tears in people's eyes. I don't know how many people came up to me after his concert to say how magical it was. It was, they knew this was a once-in-a-lifetime moment to hear this kind of concert, to meet the composer.
Well, maybe we can play some of it on a future show,
yes.
Some of what he said. Well, stay tuned. I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio. We're going to come back and talk about some more state church activism and victories, especially in the South.
My name is Paul Novak. I'm a doctor from Des Moines, Iowa, and I'm on Free Thought Radio. And I'm a dyed-in-the-wool atheist.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we are co-directors of the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
By the way, can I say something? That little bit of music that's playing before we started, that da-da, 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 that's from an Irving Berlin song, Pack Up Your Sins and Go to the Devil in Hades. And we're going to hear about somebody who thinks we freethinkers are devil worshippers.
Oh, and that is your music, Dan.
Well, I'm playing the piano, that's right.
We're co-directors of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and we hope you will join us today at ffrf.org. Now we want to talk about our very important legal actions, and we have some reaction. We're going to play to FFRF's. We've had numerous victories, actually, in the South, stopping illegal football prayer. We've been dealing with a lot of it in DeSoto County, Mississippi, and then we've been sending letters to superintendents throughout that state and Kentucky and Louisiana as well, getting a lot of, we're stopping violations everywhere with those letters. Here is WLBT News 3 out of Jackson about North Pike High School.
New at 10, a movement is underway to allow open prayer in schools and school-related events. Some Mississippi schools, including one in Pike County, have continued prayer at sporting events and want to reverse the U.S. Supreme Court decision.
Prior to the start of the North Pike Purvis football game Friday night in Summit, people in the stands recited the Lord's Prayer following an announcement that prayer was prohibited. Paul Ott recorded the activities and is leading the effort to return prayer to schools and school-sponsored events.
They're trying to take God out of this country, and we don't like the way the country's going, so we're hoping that we can get prayer in some way back at football games and all public functions.
We're not trying to just be greater than anybody. We're praying to a God who loves us and asking his protection over this football game and over these people.
I think it's Satan involved in it. I think that we just all need to get together and show our Lord how much we love him and appreciate him for dying on that cross for us.
On September 23rd, the Freedom From Religion Foundation sent letters to Mississippi school districts discouraging prayer at school-sponsored events after they say they receive complaints from Mississippi residents. The nonprofit organization represents atheists, agnostics, and skeptics. Before the game, a North Pike school official read a letter from the school attorney.
We got a letter saying that we had to stop prayer, but I'm going to tell you, you're not going to stop prayer at North Pike because individuals are always going to have the right to pray.
Freedom From Religion Foundation co-president Annie Laurie Gaylor said, quote, "We are pleased if we stopped official school-sanctioned prayer at sporting events because it is totally illegal and against the Supreme Court decision, but it is always so discouraging when parents are leading protests knowing they are offending others if they are Jewish or non-Christian."
We're going to be promoting that any time or place that the national anthem is played, that the Lord's Prayer be recited.
Rosalind Anderson, WLBT News.
So that's just a little bit of the news coverage about this football.
So just to make it clear, they got our letter, our memo, our legal letter showing that it's unconstitutional and against about five or six different Supreme Court decisions to do what they were doing. they did stop the prayer, the Christian prayer that they were routinely broadcasting over the intercom. There was protests of it, but that'll die down.
And we're not objecting to
individuals
praying if they want to. Last week, we played for you some breaking news out of a town called Whiteville, Tennessee, about a cross on a water tower. We're going to talk about that later with the attorney who wrote that powerhouse letter for us. But remember last week what the mayor of the town said.
I just think it's a sad day whenever the people in a small, rural West Tennessee town have to be the object of attention of non-believers.
Whom you will hear later, he calls us terrorists. And some of the reaction from the local community in that town.
I just tell this one person's got a problem with it. If anybody else got a problem with the cross, they just need to pack and move also.
So the mayor called us terrorists for fighting
and
this Christian
there's
cross.
There's some Christian love for their neighbor.
But the mayor has literally demonized us, suggesting that, well, we could paint the devil if we wanted to. We could paint the devil on the water tower. Here's a more recent story from My Fox News out of Memphis.
There is a cross sitting atop the Whiteville Water Tower. But over the past 11 months, a Wisconsin-based atheist organization has kept an eagle eye on the religious symbol from hundreds of miles away. The sign of the cross is symbolic of Christianity's roots worldwide. But in the religiously steeped Hardeman County, Tennessee community of Whiteville, it's where a metal cross rests that's drawn a stinging ultimatum from a national organization. Local government either takes it off the town's water tower by the end of October or face a full-fledged lawsuit financed by the Wisconsin-based atheist group Freedom From Religion Foundation.
I don't see a reason that they'd be afraid of us just because we're Christians and we've got a cross up there. I'm sure there's other religions here in town.
If they want it down, let them get up there and take it down. If it's just because obviously the cross is disturbing them.
The only thing obvious, according to Freedom Foundation's co-president Dan Barker, who spoke with us by phone, is the perceived violation of the First Amendment rights of other non-Christians in the community.
When the government itself speaks as the government and is promoting or hindering religion, then that crosses the line. That violates our basic First Amendment freedoms.
Erected 8 years ago through private donations from churches, businesses, and individuals, it was in late December of last year when Whiteville Mayor James Beller received the first of a handful of letters threatening legal action against the city. He admittedly chose to ignore them until 2 weeks ago. Then a Nashville firm issued the ultimatum the town had until October the 29th to remove the cross or be forced to head to court. Beller's responses have escalated to the point of accusing the 85% atheist membership of the foundation of giving new meaning to the word terrorist.
The terrorist is also one who will come into a very Christian, quiet community and try to disrupt our lives, try to change our beliefs.
That cross has to come down from the water tower. It can be put up in a church or on a private property. We support Christians advertising their faith and their cross. Even though we think it's silly and irrational and even dangerous, we support their freedom.
But with Freedom Foundation having waged similar successful campaigns against public displays of religious symbols across the country, Whiteville citizens have decided to bear their own crosses. Not in court, but in their own front yards all over the town of 1200. But Mayor Bellar has offered one more unique compromise offer.
I've even gone so far as to tell them if they want to come down here and put their image on the side of the tank, I'll let them paint Satan on the tank if they'd like to, so that they will have representation.
The only way Jesus Christ will get on top of that tank is when a believer climb up there, because he's in our hearts.
Les Smith, Fox 13 News.
So stay tuned for a conversation more about Whiteville with Alvin Harris, who's the Nashville attorney that we asked to write that letter of demand for FFRF after Rebecca Markert had written three letters on behalf of FFRF. So we'll be right back.
My name is Paulette Overman. I'm from Fenton, Michigan, and I listen to Free Thought Radio all the time.
Thank you. Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
And we're back, and I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we have on the phone with us Alvin Harris, who is an attorney with Hubber, Berry, and Harris in Nashville, or as they say, Nashville, Tennessee. And he is the lawyer who very successfully argued FFRF's Scopes 2 lawsuit, that's what we called, that ended in 2004, removing religious instruction from the Ray County schools. We had a resounding victory at the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. And the county seat, Dayton, Tennessee, was the county seat and, of course, was the site of the famous 1925 Scopes Monkey Trial with Clarence Darrow and William Jennings Bryan. So we may recap a little bit of that lawsuit as well, but we're going to talk with Alvin about the Whiteville Cross Fuhrer.
So welcome back to Free Thought Radio, Alvin.
Thanks, Dan and Laurie. Thanks for having me on today. I'm happy to be with y'all.
Now, we're hoping this next issue doesn't go to court and doesn't become a big case. We think your letter alone might have just sealed the deal. But before we talk about Whiteville, this recent controversy, let's just listen to a little more local news. This is WBBJ, the ABC Channel 7 out of Jackson, Tennessee.
We start tonight in Hardeman County, where a separation of church and state issue is bringing unwanted attention to the city of Whiteville. The controversy stems from a religious symbol on the top of the city-owned water tower. Currently, there's a cross at the top of the water tower, and with a predominantly Christian population, most are okay with it. But the question has been raised, would everyone still be okay with the symbol's position if it belonged to another faith?
If they want to paint a devil's tail on the side of the water tank, I have no problem with it.
Christianity, that's what residents of Whiteville say is symbolized by the cross on the top of the city's tower.
It sends a message of exclusion and even intimidation.
Annie Laurie Gaylor heads the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Last year, a Whiteville resident asked the foundation to help in the fight to get the cross removed.
Now, if that cross offends you in some kind of way, you really ought to take a deep look inside.
Mayor James Beller says the cross, paid for by a private group of citizens, was put up more than 7 years ago.
We have a local resident who's complaining and has to look at and drive by this cross all the time and is offended and knows that it's illegal. The mayor takes an oath of office to uphold our Constitution, which is secular and godless. There's no religion in it. All the references to religion in it are exclusionary.
It said Congress shall make no law. It didn't say one thing about the states or local small-town municipalities.
Mayor Beller says he's consulting with the Alliance Defense Fund to explore the city's options. His fear is if they lose the case, the judge could order the city to pay the plaintiff's court costs, a gamble he's not willing to take.
My position right now is that I will probably remove the cross within the time frame that the attorney has given us from Freedom of Religion.
Mayor Beller says the deadline they've been given by the Freedom From Religion Foundation is October 29th.
So, Alvin, you wrote that cease letter, or I guess we're not calling them cease and desist letters anymore, just cease letters. That was pretty fun to ask you to do that. And what did you say to Whiteville?
Well, basically, Annie Laurie, we pointed out that the cross on top of the city-owned water tower was a violation of the First Amendment and that it needed to be removed, or we would have to take the matter into the courts, which, you know, as we did in the Ray County case.
And it was interesting that the mayor was quoted saying, well, they could order attorney's fees to be paid out if they lose. Well, they will be. Isn't that right? You'd put that into the complaint, so not a gamble.
Right. Under the authorizing statute for lawsuits that are constitutionally based, which is a standard claim in any of these lawsuits, attorney's fees are generally awarded, you know, especially in cases like this, which, in my opinion, you know, this is not a close case. There's not really any any defense to this cross on top of the water tower.
And we all know how expensive attorneys can be.
Well, as you say, though, Dan and Annie Laurie, we would much prefer that we not run up a big legal bill,
right?
And that the town just removed the cross without any additional
fanfare. Absolutely, and that's what we always are saying to public officials. You don't want to waste taxpayer money on a losing court battle. And Alvin, I wondered if you could make another comment in response to this gross confusion there is about, you heard, I think it was the mayor saying, that the First Amendment starts, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. And I don't think he's heard of the 14th Amendment. So could you explain why that applies to state citizens as well?
Well, the 14th Amendment is the amendment to the Constitution that courts have used to extend the Bill of Rights application to state and local governments. And so it's long, long, long been established by the federal courts, including the United States Supreme Court, that the Bill of Rights, including the First Amendment and the Establishment Clause, do extend to any governmental action, including those of state and local government.
Now, just before we came to the studio today, I got a call from media in Tennessee saying, did you know that there are people putting crosses up everywhere? Hmm. Did you know that they're on all the lawns? And it was, you know, I could tell he was kind of hostile. And I said, well, great. You know, that's where they belong, on private property. We have no quarrel with that. So I wondered if you could talk a little bit about the distinction, I think, that is also often missed between government speech and private expression.
Sure. The Establishment Clause deals with governmental action, state action, as it's called, and doesn't apply to private action, such as people putting crosses on their own private property. The flip side of that would be that if the town of Whiteville or any town, passed an ordinance or something that prohibited someone from putting a cross on their lawn, then that might be a violation of the Free Exercise Clause. But that's not, of course, what we have here, and residents are certainly free to express their religious faith on private property, as apparently they're doing.
So for listeners who are new to this issue, the very first words of the First Amendment contain two different clauses. The first one is the Establishment Clause, which ties the hands of government, followed by the Free Exercise Clause that you talked about, which grants us private citizens the freedom to believe or disbelieve as we wish.
Yeah, that's correct, and they're really kind of mirror images of each other. Of course, in this case, we're contacting the town of Whiteville under the auspices of the Establishment Clause, which prevents the government from endorsing religion as they have done with the cross on top of their water tower.
Now, we are getting a lot of crank calls and lots of nasty emails, and some of them from other states, as a matter of fact, about our letter challenging the cross and the Whiteville water tower. And I feel that whenever the government gets behind one religion over another, or religion over non-religion, then it seems to privilege and empower those the people who follow that religion, to the point where they feel free to tell us that we're not real Americans. We're supposed to pack up and leave. And I wonder about, you know, the climate of almost bigotry that has been created there. You don't know anything about Whiteville's past, do you? Why it's called Whiteville?
No, I hadn't really considered that. I don't know anything about how that town got its name.
Okay, but Patrick, one of our staff attorneys, tells us that the city council is pretty integrated. It's about 50-50 black and white. So it's.
But who knows what was going on and when they named
past,
the town?
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
You see a cross up on high, and you see the words Whiteville, and you think,
well, if that cross were burning, that might be a different image.
Right, exactly. But to your point, Annie Laurie, about the outcry that you've been getting with emails and calls from people, I guess, around the country. I think maybe if they would sit and reflect a little bit about exactly what they're saying. I mean, the analogy that always comes to my mind when local towns try and basically hold themselves out as Christian communities, for example, reminds me of basically what the Taliban does in Afghanistan, basically imposing their religious beliefs on people over there. And that's, to me, the big difference between the United States and other countries, that we do have this First Amendment and the Establishment Clause, which really prevents the government from making an imposition like that.
Yeah, from dictating which God you're supposed to believe in or when you're supposed to worship or what church you're supposed to go to. I mean, that's why the pilgrims came to this country, to get away from that. So, but it's an uphill battle educating. I mean, we get this kind of question every day. I wondered, Alvin, I know that you grew up in Georgia, right?
That's correct. I was actually born in Boston when my father was in school there, but only lived there for a few months, and was basically raised in Columbus, Georgia, until I went to college.
Right on the Alabama border, so you were deep south there.
Yeah, it was pretty deep.
No, and your family was Jewish. What
That's
was
correct.
It like being? Were you the only little Jewish boy in the class, or what was that like?
Well, we were certainly a minority. At the time that I was growing up, Columbus, my hometown, was about 200,000 people, and I think the Jewish population at that time was about 1,000. So Jews were about 0.5% of the population, so we were definitely in the minority.
And did the schools, I don't know your age, so it's hard to tell, but I mean, was there a lot of religion in the schools, or did you escape that?
You know, it's a little foggy now because I am older than I used to be. I'm actually 52. But you know, I certainly remember some of my public school teachers, and I went to public school while I was growing up. Certainly making mention of Christian holidays, and actually had a very strong memory of one of my teachers when I was in I think third or fourth grade, who knew that I was Jewish and made a comment at some during the class one day that I don't know how anybody can't believe in Jesus when you look outside and see the rebirth during springtime. So you know, that was a little uncomfortable.
You know what it means to turn 52, don't you?
No, I don't.
It means that you're finally playing with a full deck.
Well, some of the people who I work with might debate that point. But
well, we have to take a break here. We have on the phone with us Alvin Harris, a Nashville attorney, successful, a constitutional victor in the courts, talking about a brand new victory. We hope it's going to stay a victory about a cross on a water tower in a small western Tennessee town. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we'll be right back to talk some more with Alvin Harrison, a little recap on our Ray County lawsuit as well.
My name is Rocco Giglio from Chicago, Illinois, and I am on Free Thought Radio.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we're continuing our conversation with attorney Alvin Harris of Nashville, who's been so helpful in working with us to remove a illegal cross, a large cross. It was lighted from a water tower in a Tennessee town called Whiteville.
Now, in about 60 seconds, Alvin, can you sum up our case a few years ago in Ray County, Tennessee?
I'll try and make it as brief as I can. Basically, what happened was that one of your members lived in Ray County, Tennessee, and had school-age children. His children went to school one day and came home and told their parents that they were receiving Bible instruction in the public schools in Ray County. This led to the lawsuit, which again was based on the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. And we learned in the course of the lawsuit that these classes were straight out of Christian Sunday school, and had been going on for years and years and years. We filed that lawsuit in federal district court in Chattanooga, and we were granted summary judgment by the district court,
which means
Ray
we
County
won.
Was not satisfied with that result. They were unhappy that they lost. They appealed the case to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals in Cincinnati, and we prevailed on appeal as well.
Yay! And the attorney's fees were paid out as they should have been. And Alvin, the suspenseful thing, the most suspenseful thing I remember was that there was a point where one of the school officials who had been originally named defendant got struck as not being relevant, and so that person threatened to reveal the identity of the families and the children who were suing. Do you remember that?
I thought it was the editor of the paper.
Remember that?
And I do. I do recall that, and I'm trying to remember exactly the circumstances where we became concerned.
But you had to go.
And
you
how
went
that
in.
Leaked out. But but we had filed the case pseudonymously for the very reason that Ray County and Dayton, the county seat, was such a strong or the people who lived there mainly had these strong religious beliefs, and we felt like there could be reprisals against our clients. Their identities at least publicly remained secret through that case, but we were very, very concerned that those identities were going to be revealed.
And
as there were some quotes actually from the mayor of the town or someone that something like, you know, when people are very serious about their religion and
scary,
you know, kind of some not so cryptic threats against the plaintiffs.
Yeah, and the judge certainly went into quick action because that would be a contempt of court.
So after our victory, then, has the state of Tennessee learned its lesson, and now these small towns are behaving? What's going on with this attitude in this Whiteville Cross? You sent us a copy of a big ad that was taken out in their local paper about our complaint. Somehow, and I can't figure this out, somehow connecting our lawsuit with some other lawsuit, and at the bottom it says, coincidence? You decide. Can you summarize that real quickly? What is that?
Sure. It actually is a coincidence that my law firm, some other lawyers in my law firm, are representing another small town called Bolivar, Tennessee, in a completely unrelated lawsuit against the city or the town of Whiteville and some other small towns, and that lawsuit has to do with natural gas fees. And there is absolutely, of course, no connection between that lawsuit and the letter that we sent to Whiteville about the water tower cross, other than that the lawyer, me, who wrote the letter, is in the same law firm as the lawyers who are representing Bolivar in that other lawsuit.
Well, you know, I'm certainly glad to see this ad, because I was getting these media calls and I couldn't make heads or tails of them talking about natural gas and something that started in 1954. And I told the reporter, I wasn't even born then. I don't know what you're talking about.
So they think this devil-worshipping group is trying to use a threat of a lawsuit of the cross to get back at the city for winning some. You know, what's going through the minds of these people?
You know, unfortunately, I think actually most of the heat is falling on the town of Bolivar, which, you know, probably if you took a poll of the residents of Bolivar, they might be on Whiteville's side as far as the cross is concerned. But in any event, you know, the Whiteville populace and their city council has been very critical of Bolivar for using this law firm that is representing the FFRF.
Now, we should say that there is a second lighted cross on a water tower, and that would be in Somerville, which I guess is close by, but there we need somebody who regularly
lives
in the area, who regularly has to be witness to this, so that we could also go to court on that. So listeners, spread the word, because it is certainly shocking in this day and age to see that a town would call itself Christian and they would put a cross on a water tower. So, Alvin, any last words on what's wrong with having a lighted cross on a town water tower?
Well, that was the question that was put to me by the reporter from the Jackson, Tennessee newspaper that called a couple of days ago, and she said, "Well, you know, why do your clients, you know, want this cross removed?" And my answer was, "Because it's unconstitutional," and really, it's everything that we've spoken about today, Annie, Laurie, and Dan, and it's just that the founders put the Establishment Clause in place for a very good reason, and cities, towns, and any kind of government don't need to be promoting or favoring any particular religion.
Well, thank you so much, Alvin. We're out of time, but it was wonderful to talk with you and so nice to work with you again.
Right. Thanks for having me.
And we want to thank our engineer and producer, Dave McCann. This is our second show with him, and he's learned the ropes already. And our announcer, Buzz Kemper. Listen to the podcast. Go to ffrf.org/radio to sign up, or just to listen to archives.
And ask for more information at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday.